AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is the CBS World News Roundup Late Edition, sponsored by Liberty Mutual Insurance.
I'm Stacey Lynn in Washington. Russia wants to try to retrieve the debris from the U.S. drone that crashed down into the Black Sea yesterday. Here's CBS's Cammy McCormick.
Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin spoke with his Russian counterpart and said it's important to pick up the phone and discuss these types of things.
That will help to prevent miscalculation going forward.
As for the drone, Joint Chiefs Chairman General Mark Milley says it went down in 4,000 to 5,000 feet of water.
It probably broke up, probably not a lot to recover. So we are quite confident that whatever was of value is no longer.
The president just wrapped up a three-day trip out west where he outlined a plan to lower prescription drug costs.
Speaking in Las Vegas, the president said his budget proposals are meant to instill faith in government.
The number of people who've come up to me after January 1st said, You cut my insulin costs, $35.
He vows there's a lot more coming. Stephen Portnoy, CBS News, Washington.
The FAA held a safety summit on Capitol Hill to address the recent string of close calls on airport runways. Acting FAA Administrator Billy Nolen.
In light of these recent close calls and the attention being focused on even the most routine of go-arounds, are we emphasizing efficiency over safety?
The family of a Mississippi Black man's calling on the Department of Justice to investigate his death. Here's correspondent Allison Keyes.
25-year-old Rasheem Carter vanished in October after telling his mother he was being chased by white men shouting racial slurs. A month later, his body was found near Taylorsville, Mississippi, and the county sheriff said there was no reason to suspect foul play. But civil rights attorney Ben Crump says Carter was dismembered and the family needs
the highest levels of law enforcement
to administer justice.
A film about him won an Oscar on Sunday.
And the Oscar goes to.
On Sunday, it won Best Documentary.
Navalny.
Navalny, the story of imprisoned Russian opposition leader Alexei Navalny. He wasn't there, but his wife Yulia was.
Alexei, I'm dreaming the day when you will be free.
On Twitter, Navalny is now reacting. He said that Russian radio reported the winners with one glaring exception, Best Documentary. He got the news from his lawyer. Navalny praised those who work every day to confront the monster of dictatorship. Steve Futterman, CBS News, Los Angeles.
Heads up, if you drive a Honda, it's recalling 500,000 vehicles over a seatbelt problem. Some of their most popular models from 2017 to 2020 are on the list, including the CR-V and Accord. The Dow closed down 280 points today. This is CBS News.
Nobody should have to pay for one-size-fits-all insurance coverage. Liberty Mutual customizes your car and home insurance so you only pay.
The Shaw 101 FM, your fix for progressive talk. From Muskego to Pewaukee, always streaming at waukradio.com.
For Civic Media, I'm Jane Matnair. Here's what you need to know. After two large bank failures in California and New York, Wisconsin banking officials are reassuring customers that the state's banks are on sound financial footing because they have a more diverse customer base and safer portfolios than the tech banks that closed. WPR reporting the Wisconsin Bankers Association says a majority of the money in Wisconsin banks is federally insured, whereas a majority of the Silicon Valley Bank's deposits were not insured by the FDIC. The EPA releasing proposed limits to PFAS or forever chemicals yesterday and setting up a national standard for PFAS in drinking water to prevent related illnesses and help keep communities safe. They're suggesting individual limits for the two most common forever chemicals at 2 parts per trillion. That's considerably lower than Wisconsin's drinking water standard for PFAS at 70 parts per trillion. I'm Jane Matnair. This is Civic Media News.
Don't you deserve a job you'd love? Civic Media is preserving hometown radio, broadcasting from main streets across Wisconsin, and we're hiring radio advertising sales professionals to join our rapidly growing network of local radio stations. If you have a connection to your community, prior sales experience, and want to earn an outstanding living where you and your hard work is appreciated, you should apply right now. Find more information on our website, civicmedia.us. Click on the Careers tab.
Monday morning at 8, don't miss Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, featuring legendary Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. Football, life,
and fun.
Earl, you've been driving a Yugo. They just gave you a brand new Ferrari with turbo boost. So enjoy it, brother.
Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger. Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. Monday morning at 8 on The Shaw. 540 AM and 101.1 FM WAUK.
Hey, Wisconsin, voting is one of our fundamental rights. Every eligible citizen has the right to be heard. You need an acceptable photo ID to vote in the spring election on April 4th. Vote Riders provides free help to get your Wisconsin ID card. Please visit voteriders.org today. They can answer all your questions about voter ID and offer free help if you need an ID to vote. If you're a citizen and you need an ID, visit voteriders.org. Voteriders.org.
The Shaw 101 FM, Brookfield's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at waukradio.com. Native Roots Radio is an independent product and has a joint sales agreement with Civic Media. Enjoy.
Check them out at greatwallrestaurant.us.
Portions of Native Roots Radio may be pre-recorded.
It's a good day to be indigenous.
Get up, stand up.
They are going to become more brutal.
Couldn't cut, didn't cut deep.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade. Hey, Cudahy, to all my friends and relatives in four directions. You are listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot. This, you know, we talk about Native issues, and as you know, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues. I just want to say today's show, this episode is... of Native Roots Radio is presented in partnership with Little Moments Count. And Barb, we've always had a lot of fun and a lot of knowledge. I want to just welcome you, Barb. And Barb is the CEO of Indigenous Visioning and All Relations Rise. And we talk good things about what's going on in education and what you're working with. So again, welcome, Barb. Long time no see, it seems like. I can't hear you for some reason here, and I'm wondering, Zoe, can you hear?
I cannot.
Oh, we were just talking before the show. How weird is that? Well, it's hard to do, like, we're on the radio, so it's hard to do hand puppets and stuff like that. But why don't we jump in with Barb's guest until Barb just maybe leave and come. Well, it seems like looking down here, you are muted. Do you want to try and unmute yourself? Yeah, maybe just leave and come right back, and we'll take it from there. Lee, can you hear me?
I sure can.
Oh, wow, we can hear you too. That's awesome. Say, why don't you introduce yourself here to our audience all over and talk about what you got going on with early childhood education from where you're at. So, Barb, can you say something? No, Barb's not. No. So, Lee, do you mind introducing yourself?
Sure. You bet. Good evening, everyone. I'm joining you from Pablo, Montana, on the great lands of the Salish and Kootenai people and Kalispell. My name is Leanne Corville, and I'm a member of this tribe, and my grandmother's from the Turtle Mountains in North Dakota. And I'm speaking to you guys tonight from Salish Kootenai College in Pablo, and we're going to talk a little bit about our early childhood program here at SKC and the lab school that we have on campus, and some of the challenges that parents across Indian country, I think, are facing similar to us, and some of the unique perspectives of our peoples.
Wow. Hey, I got a couple questions, and one of them, I want to bring this up, and we bring this up a lot, but I want you to tell our audience why early education is so important, and how does it set up our children and our young ones to be successful adults?
Absolutely. The passion of my work. So when we talk about early childhood, we're really talking about setting up a person, the foundation and the trajectory of their lifetime. So much of the brain structure is built in early childhood that impacts that child's health, their cognition, their language, their sense of self, their social emotional, their ability to make relationships and have healthy relationships. And that all begins in the beginnings, you know, in that early childhood birth, even in utero, birth to eight period. It's a really special time that we have to really set a trajectory for a person's life and also really invest in our communities and for our country, really, because we're helping those people become strong and ready to take on what's ahead of them.
Right. Hey, you've been doing this for 20 years in both Montana and Alaska, and now you're, you know, at the Flathead Reservation. What can you tell us about early childhood education department, and what is the difference? What is different than any other programs that you've worked with?
Okay, sure. So here at SKC, the Salish Kootenai College, we, in the early childhood department, we were lucky. We have an associate to bachelor's early childhood degree. We also have what's called a P3 degree, which would prepare teachers to teach preschool to third grade and opt to get licensing through the state of Montana for a teaching certificate. And recently, we've also added on a master's in literacy and also integrated Indigenous education, which is really, really unique and exciting for our campus. SKC offers was that Barb?
Yeah, Barb's working. Barb, welcome, here. Barb. We're all worried about you. Oh,
just keep going, Leanne. I don't want to interrupt.
Oh no, I'm glad you got on. So one of the really unique things that we do at SKC is that we, especially in our education department, but also across the campus, we have embedded culture and language into our degrees, and that's part of our mission and vision here at SKC. And some of the work that has been done even previous to me coming is re-scripting the sciences to reflect place-based culture and the knowledge, the traditional knowledge that's been here for a really long time, and built that into some of our courses. Our students are required to take a year of language in either the Salish or the Kootenai language of their, you know, either one that they choose, because we know that language and culture is as a reflection of our identity. And like many tribes, we're at a kind of critical spot for that. So we've embedded that right into our degree plan. And I think that we really try to look at building cultural understanding into our classes and incorporate community people that can share that place-based knowledge and understand the place, whether it's a person from this tribe or a visiting tribe, that they can learn about our place and also reflect on their own home practices and the place that they live as well. So I think those are some of our unique parts that we have at Salish Kootenai College.
That's awesome. Barb, I had such a great intro for you, too, and with our technical. But Barb is Fiabre is the CEO of Indigenous Visioning and All Nations Rise and is an enrolled member of White Earth Ojibwe Nation. And we're always so happy to have you on, Barb. What a great program it sounds like Lee's running up there.
Yes. I have the pleasure of visiting her center with the Bipartisan Policy Center last fall with Linda Smith, the director of their Early Childhood Initiative at the Bipartisan Policy Center. And it was an amazing visit. I was in awe. We all were in awe all week, and we did the documentary, which can be found on the Bipartisan Policy Center website.
Wow, that's exciting. And, you know, to collaborate is just a beautiful thing. Do you guys have any stories that show the success of implementing like this curriculum? And I know that's been going on. You've been working hard on this, both of you, for years. Lee, do you have anything that you could share here?
Sure. When I was thinking about that, I was thinking about the curriculum that we've kind of began to hybrid at our lab school, the SKC Early Learning Center. And it's always a work in progress, but we continue to look for practices that we feel like are going to best meet the needs of our students or our families. And so we've done a little bit of high scope. We do a little bit of Montessori. We do, we're always trying to work on culture and language in our program. And so that's sort of, I think, a unique, we have that opportunity and freedom to fix that curriculum to meet our needs.
Let's talk more about that after this short break. Really excited. We're, you know, hanging out with Little Moments Count and Barb Fabre and Leanne. And we're going to talk more about early education. You're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
Hey, Ogama, I've been hearing a lot about this term, climate justice. What is that?
Climate justice is recognizing that the negative impacts of climate change don't affect all people equally. It also means transitioning from a fossil fuel-based economy to a more sustainable future. MN350 is one of the groups that's pushing for this transition to protect our futures. You can even get involved, too.
That's great, especially since I'm concerned about pipeline projects like Line 3. How can I help MN350?
Just find them on Facebook or visit mn350.org.
When we heal from our traumas,
when we face our fears,
let go of our addictions,
when we relearn our values,
when we live our teachings,
respecting our elders,
cherishing and honoring our children,
when we honor and take care of our spirit,
there will be no room left for sexual violence.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Hi, I'm Scott Chambliot from Chambliot Family Dentistry. We're the fear-free, shame-free dental office. If you're having a dental emergency, we'll try and get you in the same day you call, because we don't like to see anyone in pain. And we'll help you get through every appointment in the most pain-free way possible. As my daughter Rachel says,
if you don't see my dad, please see another dentist. Take care of your teeth, because they're the only ones you get.
Chambliot Family Dentistry in Hopkins and St. Paul. Find them online at ChambliotFamilyDentistry.com or call 1-800-FIX-MY-TEETH.
J&S Bean Factory is a Native-owned, community-supported, cozy, artsy coffee shop which offers roasted on-site beans, live music, and baked goods. Relax in the beautiful outside patio. City Pages writes, voted top 10 coffee shops. Tucked into a quiet corner of St. Paul's Highland Park neighborhood, this coffee shop roasts beans on-site from the best coffee-growing countries in the world. Located at 1518 Randolph Avenue, St. Paul. The good stuff.
Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot. Hey, y'all. This episode of Native Roots Radio is presented in partnership with Little Moments Count, and we're here with Barb Fabre and Lee Ann, and we're talking education and early education and how much that really affects our little ones. And this is always, being a former teacher, this is always a an awesome show, Barb, for me to listen and to hear all the great work that you're doing, and also Leanne, what she's doing out there. Let's talk a little bit more about, you know, the curriculum and how that curriculum that you two work with really serves our little ones, our native little ones.
Sure. So in early childhood, especially in Indian country, it's really important to have a good curriculum, a curriculum that helps our kiddos be excited about reading, writing, learning. So we're creating lifelong learners. And we know in Indian country, our babies need the best of everything. So high quality early childhood is that. And, you know, and often we indigenize westernized curriculum to fit our needs in our classrooms, and then we integrate it and immerse our culture and our language. And there's a lot of wonderful programs out there that are doing a lot of innovative things around that. But I'd love to have Leanne share what they do at their center.
Sure. I think, Barb, you hit on an important part too of that need to indigenize the Western curriculums that we sometimes are told that we have to use or that are available. It really is something that we're working on constantly, I think, at the on our campus. And, you know, for an example, we were able to, through one of our programs here at SKC, we had a native language teacher who needed to do student teaching, and we were lucky enough to get her. And when she did her practice in our center, she really brought a whole nother level of culture and language into the classroom with the children and the teachers, gathering natural plants and learning about life cycles, the respect of the drum, different kinds of mourning, you know, different kinds of songs and mourning songs, and just really, I feel like vitalizing our teachers also, you know, and getting them excited about different ways of bringing that into the classroom. And I think it takes a lot, you know, it just takes work and dedication to continue that. We're lucky at our department in education here that we recently added on a culture and language specialist that's going to continue to help us grow even in our education department and embedding into our curriculum that will prep teachers, you know, from early childhood to secondary and into our two master's programs. What a great opportunity that we have that support right in our building and can continue to share that out with people.
Wow, that's exciting, Barb. And, you know, one of the things, too, is I think Leanne was just explaining how important, you know, and what does tribal provide in childcare mean? That was a great definition, Barb.
Yeah, well, you know, we need to level the playing field. We've got, you know, our communities, our tribal communities are dealing with a lot of issues. Historical trauma is the main one, which often, you know, has initiated the education gap. And, you know, communities are hurting and families are hurting. So we need to do everything we can to level that playing field. And we start with early childhood. And much like little moments count, you know, it's adding those teaching moments wherever we can. And we do that with our curriculum. We do that with our culture, our language. You know, there's a lot of great resources. Little Moments Counts has, and their website is wonderful resources for parents and educators. On the Bipartisan Policy Center, if you're an advocate and want to learn more about tribal child care, go to the bipartisanpolicycenter.org and learn how you can get involved and help children in your community. But it's you know, early childhood is so important. You know, it gives, helps improve social skills. It's linked to greater successes in life when kids have a good early childhood start. You know, early childhood is childcare, it's Head Start, it's preschool. So it's a lot of different forms. And it gives parents the freedom to go to work or school. And early intervention, we're able to catch things early on before they become something. So earlier intervention services between birth and five is so critical, because that can help, you know, that can really change their trajectory of their life if they don't have early intervention services. So there is a lot involved in early childhood, and a lot of programs try to hit all those important pieces. So you can tell we're passionate about it because it's so critical.
Well, what I liked was the story Leanne said about a young one coming to do her teaching and bringing young blood in that probably, you know, from my experience being 61 years old, that they have more culture than I was brought up with in a lot of ways. And hearing young ones coming in and being excited about teaching what they know traditionally.
Yeah, I think, Robert, building on that, you know, that representation matters. And for our identity beginning at such a young age, for young children to be able to hear their language or learn about their language and see themselves reflected and honored in their learning spaces is really an important gift that we can offer. And Barb hit it. There's so much to it. And we really need to think about how we can invest better in early childhood for families, all families, to have access to that service. And it's such an important part of that foundation. And the challenge that we're having also is just supporting teachers, right? It's very often women of color that are doing those jobs, and they're challenged by being able to live and take care of their families while also doing that really critical and sacred work of caring for and educating our young children. So I think that's the other part we really hope to continue to advocate for as well.
Yeah, definitely. And Barb, is there other ways that we want to see the program change to the needs of your community? Is it flexible like that?
Yeah, the community can support the early childhood programs. They can get more people, help the tribe recruit childcare providers and educators and help create, support, cultural support to those early childhood programs. So there's a lot, you know, in the tribal leaders' support is important. So, you know, childcare is really a critical and if piece of a community and successful economic development. So we need to have those pieces in our community. So the community could gather around your early childhood programs and say, what do you need? What are your challenges? You know, and learn about their successes, because, you know, they're taking care of our future leaders, our future teachers, our future president. So, that's pretty important, and they do need your support.
Well, before we get going here, I just want to remind everyone we're really excited to partner with Little Moments Count and host these conversations on early childhood development. And we do this monthly, and we have a guest, and Barb comes in and helps us really facilitate in a good way what's going on. And I want to ask you both this, but first, Leanne, I want to say thanks for coming on, but how can listeners find out more about what you're doing? And then I'm going to ask Barb the same thing.
You bet. I can share our SKC website information and also my email and one of my coworkers' emails, that the work that we're doing through our TCU Head Start partnership and Kellogg and EEIC that is really helping us do this work, but I can certainly share our website and our contact information.
Well, give it a shout out because we are radio. And okay.
All right. So skc.edu is our main website for Salish Kootenai College. And I can be found on that website, and also my email, which is going to be long, LEIGA.
The Shaw, 101 FM, WAUK, 540 AM, Waukesha's only news talk station.
CBS News Brief. General Mark Milley on what we now know about the U.S. drone that crashed into the Black Sea yesterday.
Was it intentional or not? Don't know yet. We know that the intercept was intentional. We know that the aggressive behavior was intentional. We also know it was very unprofessional and very unsafe.
Aviation officials were on Capitol Hill today addressing the rise in close calls on airport runways. Transportation Secretary Pete Buttigieg.
We ask you to help us address a number of questions. What is showing in the data and what is missing in the data? What are the root causes of the incidents that we've seen?
Shares of one of Europe's largest banks, Credit Suisse, tanked today after news that its top shareholder won't pump any more money into it. Market analyst Michael Farr.
European banks are closely tied to their governments, and you just never know how much the sovereign government will support the individual bank, but I think we're getting ready to find out.
CBS News Brief. I'm Stacy Lynn.
The Shaw 101 FM, your fix for progressive talk from Big Bend to Menominee Falls. Always streaming at WAUKradio.com.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Here's what you need to know. Aaron Rodgers says he's going to New York. More in a minute. The state assembly passed two bills yesterday aimed at crime at school. One of them would require crimes on school property to be part of the information parents get when making school choice decisions. Delafield Republican Cindy Duckow.
This is a tool that parents deserve and community members deserve so they can find out what's going on and see how safe their kids are at school right now.
Another bill would require schools with enough incidents in one semester to hire a school resource officer. Four acting state cabinet secretaries get Senate confirmation hearings today. Senators refuse to give Governor Evers' nominees confirmation hearings during his first 4 years in office. In sports, Aaron Rodgers is publicly acknowledging his plans to play for the New York Jets next season. He tells the Pat McAfee podcast the Jets and Green Bay Packers are working out the details. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
Direct from the Dairy State, it's Extra Sharp Weekends, a three-hour block of Wisconsin-produced radio, Saturdays and Sundays from 11 a.m. till 2 p.m., featuring Raised in Wisco with Joel Clayfish and Danielle Fairman, The Cripes Cast with Charlie Behrens, and Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, Gilbert Brown. Enjoy it by the slice or enjoy the whole darn block. Extra Sharp Weekends is radio so fresh, it squeaks. Listen in on the Civic Media Station or on the app.
Knucklehead CBD and Vapes is now online at knuckleheads.shop. Step into your favorite smoke shop without leaving your home. Find grinders, papers, Delta 8, and more, all from your computer or phone. With free shipping on all orders over $50, you'll be sure to find exactly what you like. You can also order for in-store pickup, so there's no wait. Knucklehead CBD and Vapes.
Visit Knuckleheads Milwaukee at 2949 North Oakland Avenue.
Order online today at knuckleheads.shop.
Hey, this is Jim Santel. I am the host of Morning Cannolis. Every single Saturday morning from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m., we talk about the major stories in law, in government, and the aspiration for justice in America. Delighted to have you join, call in, and be a part of our discussion right here on the networks of Civic Media.
Hey, son, how are you feeling?
I'm fine, Pops.
What's on your mind?
I can't explain it.
When your kid can't find the language, find the lyrics. Start a conversation at soundedouttogether.org. Brought to you by Ad Council and Pivotal Ventures.
6-7 or arrayinsurance.com. Array Insurance, working hard for you.
With a look at your AM 950 weather, I'm Patrick Lulia. Cloudy tonight with a low of 34, then rain and snow on Thursday with temperatures around 30. The Electric Fetus is having a pre-inventory store-wide sale now through Sunday. Take 20% off almost everything in the store. The Electric Fetus is located at 2000 South 4th Avenue in Minneapolis. More information at electricfetus.com.
You're listening to Native Roots Radio. This is Spirit from Reservation Dogs. Get up and listen.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is brought to you by MN350, a grassroots organization fighting for climate justice.
Yes, it is. Hey, Zoe, thanks a lot for being on. As always, we were mixing it up a little bit today, but I know I have a video you sent me, and I'll be playing the audio. But maybe what you can do, Zoe, is set it up. What's happening? I think people are vaguely, like myself, kind of with all the things going on in the Biden administration and him setting himself up to be a centrist and working, running for re-election. There's a lot of weird stuff going on, Zoe.
Right. Yeah. And a lot of contradiction. You know, Biden's presidential campaign originally ran on one of the biggest issues he talked about was that, you know, he was trying to get us moving towards clean energy, trying to reduce, you know, carbon emissions. And so his decision on Monday is leaving quite a lot of people pretty stumped, and even more people really distraught and angry. So for our listeners who don't know, on Monday, President Biden approved the controversial project on Alaska's petroleum-rich and remote northern slope. So basically, the Willow Project is a proposed pipeline that is going to be put through the northern slope of Alaska. And, you know, this is on land that is heavily used by indigenous peoples in the surrounding area, predominantly for hunting grounds, hunting and gathering grounds. So similar to like the Line 3, you know, pipeline that went through Minnesota, only 4 hours north of Minneapolis up in White Earth, where I'm from. This land that the pipeline is going to go through is going to greatly and deeply affect the indigenous communities surrounding it. So it's really important for everyone out there, all our listeners, to understand the weight of this issue, and that while it might be all the way up in Alaska, it's definitely going to affect, you know, the U.S. carbon emissions for years and years and years to come. So it's a pretty scary thing that's happening right now, you know, Robert, across Turtle Island.
Yeah, so. And our relatives are going to be dealing with Line 5 in Wisconsin. It just keeps coming and coming. And then people that we thought we were allies with are turning their backs on us. And it sounds like the same old thing. So we're concerned and upset. And I wonder, Zoe, if you mind, we got that one video, and I have the audio ready to boot up if you wanted to introduce this.
Yeah, so basically, one of the first things I watched about this project, which was a really well done video from Evergreen Action. And so they're just talking about, it's about a 2 to 3 minute long video. They're just talking about what is the Willow Project and how do we stop it. They give some really key information. And, you know, this is a radio show, so you're not getting the visuals if you're listening. But if you want the visuals, just search up on YouTube after the show, what is the Willow Project and how do we stop it? And that was posted by Evergreen Action. So, yeah, really informative.
Let's take a listen.
Mind. These are industrial chillers. They can freeze the ground solid. ConocoPhillips, the oil company, is installing them to protect their equipment at a planned drilling site in Alaska called Willow. They say they need to refreeze the ground because the Alaska permafrost is melting. The permafrost, which is never supposed to melt.
The Arctic is actually warming 4 times faster than the rest of the world, and the Willow Project could make it so much worse.
This is my friend Mattia. She's a policy lead at Evergreen.
And I lead up our Freedom from Fossil Fuels policy beat.
So because of climate change, the Arctic is melting.
Yep.
And ConocoPhillips wants to refreeze it to drill for more oil, which will cause more climate change, which will speed up the melting.
Exactly. The Willow Project is ConocoPhillips' plan to extract millions of barrels of oil from Alaska's fragile western Arctic. It's the biggest oil project currently proposed on federal land.
They want to build hundreds of miles of pipelines, 5 drilling sites, a gravel mine, 250 oil wells, and an airstrip.
Obviously, this would be a disaster for the climate.
Yeah, so if ConocoPhillips is allowed to drill at Willow, it could pump about 287 million metric tons of climate pollution into the atmosphere. That's about as much pollution as the annual emissions from 76 coal-fired power plants. Drilling that much oil is completely out of step with President Biden's climate commitment to cut carbon pollution in half by 2030.
People are already suffering the effects of the climate crisis, but ConocoPhillips is promising their shareholders that Willow is going to bring in a ton of money for years to come. They think that they can just keep drilling more oil, and when the planet gets warmer, they'll just refreeze the Arctic to keep drilling even more oil, all to keep making money. But we can still stop them.
There's some good news here, Hannah. If Biden rejects the permit, that's it. The project's dead.
Since this project is planned on federal public lands, it needs to be approved by the Department of the Interior, specifically the Bureau of Land Management.
President Biden needs to use his executive authorities, the things that he can do without any help from Congress.
Thousands of people have already called on President Biden to stop the Willow Project. And now we need you. Call on President Biden and his Bureau of Land Management to reject the Willow permit once and for all. Visit evergreenaction.com/willow to submit a comment.
Oh, wow, Zoe, did I hear that right? They're freezing and refreezing the land in order to get... What in the heck?
Yeah, that's what really also just totally shocked me. I was just like so contradictory, you know, like why are we refreezing land when the whole reason we're in the conundrum in the first place is due to, you know, gas emissions and fossil fuels. So it's just, you know, I think a lot about how, you know, our elders speak about colonialism and the impact it's had on us as a people and a society, and how, you know, they really took our values and our whole worldview and flipped it upside down and backwards. And it just feels like this is such a, you know, an example of that upside down, backwards thinking, because it doesn't make sense. It really just doesn't make sense. And we're kind of in a pigeonhole right now as a country, because, you know, in order to move forward with, you know, renewable energy and reducing carbon emissions, we're having to choose from two evils. It seems like, you know, they're trying to reduce, you know, our involvement with, you know, foreign oil, through this project, especially. And then two, you know, the Biden administration is very, very adamant about trying to get more, you know, battery operated cars, you know, that reduce the gas consumption. But in order to make those batteries, yet again, they have to encroach and destroy native lands. You know, Ogama and I have reported on a few times here about the the Thacker Pass mine in Nevada. And so all of this is happening at the same time. And it's just really incredible to think about how many indigenous lands are being encroached upon and for what reason, you know, for a reason that we are supposed to support, you know, a green economy, but there is a huge dark side to that green economy. And, you know, greenwashing itself is such a dangerous thing that we as indigenous people have always had to contend with, but are especially having to contend with now. And just a reminder for people, greenwashing is, you know, a strategy that, you know, governments and companies are using now to kind of justify whatever means they're taking in the under the guise of renewable energy. When really, if you do further research, you can find out that a lot of the projects that are being approved right now are going to do more harm to the environment long term than they are, you know, that they're saying they are. So
Zoe, so I've seen some videos out there. Again, I don't have aluminum foil on my head. I've been kind of researching this stuff too. But if you have to follow, there's an old saying, follow the money, where a lot of these things have come out of, it'll blow your mind, whether it's, you know, it made me think of what, when you were talking about that term, that, you know, who's running this term? I mean, you know, we need hemp batteries for sure. And I'll tell you one thing too, when I was at Wounded Knee, one of the big things that were being talked about, and we thought we were over this in one way, was the mining of the Black Hills. Well, they're coming in big time now because of all these minerals, whether it's for the phones or whether it's for, you know, the batteries. This is all revving up again. And I just can't believe what's old is new. And it's, how does, you know, I, when you were talking, I just think, how in the heck do you feel and your generation feel about this? This is like insane.
Yeah. I mean, it's ecological genocide, to put it simply, you know, and it's something that every year, especially the younger generation, is becoming more and more used to. I mean, I think about some of the young people I know up in White Earth who are doing incredible amounts of activism, and they are, you know, they're kids. They're like 13, they're 14, and they're out on the front lines of these movements advocating, because to have a child speak about these issues is so incredibly powerful. It's just really, really unfortunate. It has to get to that level that, you know, we can't just sit and listen to an Indigenous elder or even just a scientific expert too, and trust that they know what they're talking about, and, you know, put our faith and belief behind them. We have to now bring children into these issues so that people can have some semblance of empathy. And I also just think it's really important to mention that, you know, this is a project that is going to create jobs for people in the area, but it's going to be only about 2,500 temporary jobs. And I know that that was a huge thing that Enbridge especially advocated for with the Line 3, that they would create so many jobs. A lot of those jobs are going to leave as soon as the pipeline is finished. So we can talk about more of that after the break. But
good segue. Hey, we'll be right back with Zoe Allen and Robert Pilot. We're discussing some disgusting things, and we'll be right back after this short break. Hey, stay with us, please.
Hey, Ogama, I've been hearing a lot about this term, climate justice. What is that?
Climate justice is recognizing that the negative impacts of climate change don't affect all people equally. It also means transitioning from a fossil fuel-based economy to a more sustainable future. MN350 is one of the groups that's pushing for this transition to protect our futures. You can even get involved, too.
That's great, especially since I'm concerned about pipeline projects like Line 3. How can I help MN350?
Just find them on Facebook or visit mn350.org.
Boost your immunity and help protect your community. COVID-19 is still here, but it's not too late to get your booster. Staying up to date with vaccines can help build protection that has decreased since your last shot and provide better protection against newer variants. Boosters are an important part of protecting yourself from getting seriously ill from COVID-19. To learn more and schedule your appointment, visit ramseycounty.us/COVID-vaccine. ramseycounty.us/COVID-vaccine.
Well, here we are again, and I gotta tell you, Jim, this match has me really concerned.
Here we have a powerful heavyweight, a train, weighing in at 6,000 tons, and this hasty lightweight challenger, a car, at just 1.5 tons.
This does not bode well for the car, or the people in it.
It's no contest. Every day, people are injured or killed trying to beat a train at rail crossings. See tracks, think train.
Minnesota has the only original wolf population in the continental United States.
And 80% of Minnesotans believe the wolf should be protected.
Howling for Wolves is asking Minnesotans to respect our true wildlife manager, the wolf.
Their survival is critical to our ecosystems, our communities, and even our economy.
As highly intelligent animals with strong social bonds, Minnesota wolves deserve to be protected and admired.
Learn more at howlingforwolves.org. Let's live and let howl.
This is Winona LaDuke of Honor the Earth, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio. I'm awake.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is brought to you by the Native American Community Clinic, honoring health and tradition.
Hey, and also Hauling for Wolves, protecting wolves for future generation there, Zoe. How?
How? I know it's different when Wendy's not here.
Cool. Hey, Zoe, let me read a couple comments here from our listeners here. Nina says Biden's caving in on us. And then she also howled, too, with us. Thanks, Nina. And, and Santina talks about the love for money is the root of all evil. And, there's a representative that is working against her own people. And I wanted to touch base a little bit on what we were ending with there, Zoe. And I remember when Line 3 was happening, they were talking about 7,000 jobs. And those 7,000 jobs were from people all over the country. And the few jobs that were happening with our Native community were part-time, no health care, and very minimal costs, so they could say that they had Native Americans up there working for them. And it was, again, a big sham.
Oh, a complete sham. And it's also just really, it's just a whole nother level of evil to predate on an already economically disadvantaged community. I remember because, my parents live up in White Earth and I've grown up there for, 10 plus years. I remember receiving some propaganda in the mail from Enbridge trying to get, local people to work for them. And with all this promises, all these promises and such a really well done flyer. And I just remember thinking about how many young men in the area are going to probably pursue working for Enbridge just because there's really not any other job prospects, and while it might be some quick money for them to help them pay bills or whatever they need, it's a temporary thing. And, they were very ostracized by the community for doing so, which just adds another layer of complexity to the whole issue. And so we see this happen anywhere a pipeline goes through. They prey on the local community in a lot of ways. And I know Line 3, Enbridge, they also worked really hard to try and get Park Rapids support by promising that they would, help them with some infrastructure things. And so it's just at every level they're trying to leverage power and manipulation in order to have free range on these pipeline projects. We know that they're done often without all the permits being passed, without proper consultation from tribal nations, who are nations, who are sovereign, bodies that should have just as much say. But of course, we know the history very well. It's just a really horrible thing. And not to even mention man camps. I mean, that was a huge thing. I remember talking to the McAllister Board of Trustees about my school's involvement with Enbridge, because we were actually we had money in Enbridge. And so a lot of students rallied together to call out the Board of Trustees. It's like, you can't say you're here to support Indigenous students when you're actively participating in genocide. Mm-hmm. And it's really demeaning as Indigenous people to continue to have to, plead for such simple things like the protection and safety of the water, of our women, of our children, and of our men. In the community that is going to be most impacted by this is up in Alaska is the sovereign Inupiaq people. And so they went actually and stood at the White House and demanded, stood up there face to face, demanded that President Joe Biden, uphold his promises to push for green energy and to not approve any more oil pipelines. I mean, I'm not sure if he made that direct promise, but he spoke so much about it, he might as well have,
Right. You know, Zoe, it's interesting, too. I just want to touch base because we have so many listeners in Wisconsin that Line 5 is happening there. And what happened here in Line 3 that you touched on, I also remember here in Minnesota that, you know, these people all over the country were making all this money to come in and put in these pipelines. And then they were staying at homeless shelters. So the real homeless people couldn't get in there because they didn't want to pay for renting an apartment. I mean, it goes on and on and on about the disrespect for the community, the water, the people, all over the almighty dollar.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And I can't remember who said it, but I remember reading an article once, and an indigenous activist was just stating that, you know, if you ever want to know what's happening to indigenous women, look at what's happening to land. You know, it's right. Always we're so intricately like connected to each other. And so our MMIW issues and MMIP issues are just as much at the forefront of this issue as anything else. So it's important to also bring that into the conversation due to, you know, the man camps that come in and can completely decimate communities through sexual abuse. We've seen that at Standing Rock. We've seen that at Line 3. There's actually a huge sex trafficking or human trafficking ring that was busted in connection to Line 3.
We covered that, and that was unbelievable, sickening, and it was a thing that people like Winona LaDuke were saying that it would come, that this would, and it ended up happening, which is sickening and sad to hear, but that these man camps brought all this baggage and garbage to our indigenous communities.
Yeah. And, you know, these issues aren't, you know, they're really complicated. Like some of our commenters have said, there are, you know, Alaskan Native people who are in support of this project because, again, they have communities that need, you know, finances for infrastructure, for public schools, for, you know, food. You know, I don't know if you've ever been up to Alaska, but the food cost there alone is ridiculous. I mean, I think I read it was about, could be about, right now it's about like $13 for like a bag of cheese. You know, I mean, we think we have it bad in Minnesota, and we do with, you know, inflation, but I mean, they're all the way up there. And so they rely heavily, the indigenous people of Alaska rely heavily on hunting rights, being able to supplement their groceries with, you know, the animals that they're able to kill. And a lot of those animals in that huge area of the northern borough are going to be, you know, put at risk also, especially our water animals, our water relatives, right. Such as seals, you know, lots of animals are going
whales.
To whales who are really sacred animals to Alaska Native people also, and have their own ceremonies around them, and have every right to be able to hunt and fish in those areas. And so we'll just keep updating you guys on this project as it develops. You know, it's not over yet. You can still call on Biden and leave him a message that, you know, you're disappointed in this presidency and want him to put an end to this, you know.
Those things work. And thanks, Zoe, for your input and really great perspective of what's going on in Turtle Island. And I just want to say thanks to you, and Little Moments Count today. If you're listening to the show, you are part of the resistance. From Chief Plenty Coops, the ground on which we stand on is sacred ground. It's the blood of our ancestors. We need to resist, divest, join a group, or run for office. We're still here. Remember, Daniel just said up here, never trust the Wasichus. We do agree with that today. We'll see you tomorrow. This has been Native Roots Radio. Free Leonard Peltier now.
March 15th. March 15th.
What's March 15th?
March 15th is the absolute final day to take advantage of up to 50% off on our Civic Media premium weather sponsorships. First, we spread your business message and phone number to our listeners. Then we spread Mother Nature's plans for the next 36 hours. You'll get a 15-second ad every hour followed by your phone number. Don't wait. March 15th is almost here. Log on to civicmedia.us/weather now. That's civicmedia.us/weather.
The Devil's Advocates.
Now, we've had Ted Cruz more than once.
He has very slippery hands.
And once in Ishiwaka, Indiana.
He was so desperate. He literally walked into this diner with families eating and shook every single person's hand, whether they wanted him to or not. And some of the kids were like, "What, Bobby?"
He was invading lots of bubbles. "Bobby, make the greasy man go away. I can smell the desperation, Mommy."
You are listening to WAUK 540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, always streaming on the Civic Media app.